I'd love to explain that to you. I would love to explain that to you.
Is this worth understanding? Because I don't need to.
It's not.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And how's everybody doing this week?
Oh, I'm sitting on a floor, which is strange.
So
I'm
cool
super
for
normal.
You
guys are in a weird headspace, I think.
Leah and I are on the road this week. We're on a little road trip with our friend. We're in Maine right now. We're at an Airbnb, and we're doing really good. And
I would definitely say that's like the number one adjective that I would put towards how we are doing.
I do feel like I'm doing good. I did say earlier, I don't think we're fit for human consumption. So that's actually the perfect time to record a podcast. And I wouldn't worry about that if you're listening. We're just going to very quickly, before we get started on the weird events of the week in wrestling, say that we do still have some magnets. If you want a magnet, you can go fill out our Google form on our socials. And they are magnetic.
They are super magnetic.
Well, stick to anything. Stick to your car. Stick to your fireplace.
And if by chance you get an empty envelope that has a slit in it, let us know.
And it's really likely, because I think probably like we are like personally and specifically being attacked by the U.S. Postal Service, and they can find us in our mail anywhere.
Yeah. Your replacement magnets. I took them to a different post office this time just to, you know.
Oh, shake it up.
Keep Louis DeJoy on his toes.
Like the idea that they could have all the magnets Leah was getting sent and it wouldn't be enough. I see this as kind of wallpaper for the fridge. Like, I'm going to tile the whole thing.
That's how good these magnets are.
That's how well they stick. Let's start out. So we'll talk about what was kind of the overall thing that was going on Dynamite this week. So as you all know, we have the Forbidden Door little pay-per-view approaching next Sunday. Is that right?
The 26th. So
I think it's 10 days from now. It's got to be next Sunday.
Yeah.
Hey,
a week from Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday.
No, that's we can't get into that semantical issue right now. So I would say that up until now, we had been getting dribs and drabs of the New Japan guys in a way that I mostly found confusing and like couldn't figure out if they were there to introduce me for Forbidden Door or for another reason. This was, I would say, like the New Japan like faucet opening up, and
they dumped a bunch of men on us. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it was crossover raining. Episode. Yeah.
Yeah. It was torrents, raining men.
Torrents of men. Yeah. And I actually enjoyed myself very much.
I did too.
I was, you know, if you had told me like they're going to dump torrents of New Japan men on you, I would have said, no, I won't like that. But I actually loved it. And now I love the rivalry we have with New Japan High. I love that we're getting paired up to do competitive projects, school against school. I'm into it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the dissenter here, I think, because I didn't love it. And I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, it's partly, I was like, when there's like a Grey's Anatomy crossover episode and there's all these people you don't know from Chicago, whatever, like, I don't care. But then I was like, you know what, actually, like, when New Girl crossed over with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I didn't really love that either, even though I watched both shows and enjoyed both shows. And I think it's just because, like, when you cross things over, like, you can't have long-term story, like, all the relationships are shallow, you know, these are acquaintances. So, for me, it was not as enjoyable as it otherwise could have been.
I do definitely see that. I think my counterpoint, but I can't think of a crossover episode that I've watched recently, but I think the counterpoint for a crossover episode is that they're not long-term storylines together, but that outside forces can galvanize reactions between people inside your company and change the way that they think about things that have been going on. Do I know off the top of my head if I think that happened last night? No, I
that
don't.
Was going to be my follow-up. I was like, that's a great point.
But I think,
didn't really see that happen, but
I think there's promise there. I think there's promise there. And I think that it was a spicy, nonstop evening.
Yeah, it definitely busy. It definitely was nonstop. I think that's part of why it worked for me is that like all of our guys had such a fun energy. Like they seemed so amped for all of this to be happening that I was like, yes, like you're carrying me with you.
Yeah, I definitely like didn't hate it. Like there were lots of moments that I really loved, but there were just like a lot of like mediocre to low moments. I mean, there's a lot of Chris Jericho. There was a lot of Dan Lambert. Like
it's going to be a rough evening on the pod.
There's FTR.
People are going to say, hey, let me just say up front,
I'm real concerned about your Jericho situation. So
people are going to say things tonight that you'll think like, wow, should she be saying that? I never thought she'd say that. I wish that her tongue would be cut out of her mouth so she could not speak anymore. Yeah, that may happen. But that is when you're not afraid to go there, where your emotions take you, where your heart takes you.
You had a real sexual journey last night.
I
want to be clear.
It's not sexual.
I mean, you've been calling Chris Jericho your new lover for like 24 hours.
Oh, that's so, in like a fun way. Like that's not in a set. We'll get to it.
Is that a fun thing to
say? Yeah, it's fun. Hey, everyone's loving it.
I want to disclaim up front. There are things that I'm with Allie on and there are things that I won't be with Allie on and I vocally will not be supporting her. So
that's a really good addition, Leah. When I don't agree with Allie, I'll say with my mouth that I don't agree with her. Yeah, I think they'll hear when it happens.
Leah, if you get concerned that she's having like extreme brain damage, just don't let her drive tomorrow. You know, I want you guys to be safe. So
it's not my day. No, it's Leah's day. Totally, so I'll be free to continue damaging my brain from the backseat, baby. Yeah. Okay, we'll get into the details. Let's start with the big showstopper event of the night. So this originally was going to be the Bucks versus Jurassic Express versus the Hardys. Jeff Hardy got arrested for DUI earlier this week, and the Hardys were removed from the match. It was just the Bucks versus Jurassic Express. They won the match, making them the first two-time tag team champs at AEW, which they have been loving to point out on this beautiful internet of ours. Any thoughts on the match overall?
Allie, I would say it fucked.
I would say it fucked and it slapped and it banged.
Big time.
It was a fucking slap and banger.
There was a point during that match that I was just like, you know what? Every single time the Bucks update their bio to be like, we are not appreciated for how good we are. They're right.
they're getting away with hell with us because we are just like so true. It's so true.
So true.
There are people all over Twitter being like, Bucks are bad. You know what? We're gonna have a conversation about whether they should have the belts. You can't say Bucks are bad. No. You can't say they're bad at their job of wrestling. They're great at it.
Yeah.
No. And like for a title transfer, you guys remember when Jungle Express took it off the Lucha Brothers and the match was like weirdly just like kind of lackluster and it was like, oh, that was it. Like this match was not falling into that trap.
No. That's a really good point. I had honestly forgotten about that title transfer because it was so not I think it was technically, as we love to say, damning with faint praise, a good match, but it wasn't like interesting. This match was crazy.
It was crazy.
Matt Jackson rode Luchasaurus up a ladder like a little cuddly koala bear.
They did banana stuff. And Jungle Boy looked really good, I thought, too. So
he did. He looked great. Well, when he and Nick were doing their various, like, hopping around on the rope spots together, where they're just holding each other's hands like, now it's your turn, buddy. They looked so cool. Crazy cool.
Yeah.
And there's some very cool, like, where he, like, threw Nick off the ropes, but it was, like, one-handed and really casual that I thought was really cool. And he did, I don't know, his Hurricane or Rama or whatever you call it. Like, that was super cool, too.
Yeah, it was great. Leah, do you want to reveal? So Leah and our friend and I were watching at Sarah's house. Sarah, the haver of knowledge, whom you all have heard of. And Leah, you want to explain the moment when
it was
we knew?
Like the craziest thing that she said. And like she was right. The thing is, she's always right. Is she just all of a sudden she stood up and screamed, "He lost his shoe. He always loses his shoe in a title change."
But she was right.
We were like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" She was just pointing and going, "His shoe, his shoe." You know what? She was right. She was right. She was Matt right. Jackson, he lost his shoe during the Lucha Brothers match because of the tax. And then apparently he lost his shoe during the FTR match. Wow. Wow. That's long-term storytelling.
I don't think I've ever seen a wrestler shoeless in the ring more often than Matt Jackson.
Yeah, it's true.
He wants to show you his beautiful feet.
Well, I hope he had socks on. I wasn't looking. Well, we can't get into all that. Okay, what did you guys think about this as an outcome?
I think that they made a mistake by not giving the belts to either Ricky and Hobbs or mm-hmm. Keith or Swerve mm-hmm. at the pay-per-view. But if that was already done and they had to make, they apparently had planned to give it to the Hardys and they couldn't give it to the Hardys. And if the choice was between Jungle Express, Jurassic Express retaining or the Bucks getting it, this was the right call. But it's like, yeah, do I wish he had a time turner and could go backwards? Yes. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think the same thing. It's very silly for the Bucks to have it again. It just feels like, I don't know, especially when they've been doing some repetitive stuff in general. I feel like, I mean, I'm not mad that the Bucks have it. Like, they're going to be good, obviously. But it is like, if you're at the point after the pay-per-view, when it was a dumb idea to give it to the Hardys in the first place. But like, what, that aside.
Yeah, he was dickmatized or something. I mean, Tony Khan has been dickmatized for a while.
Yeah, pretty badly. Yeah, it's a real little fanboy in the 90s situation, it seems to be. But as a Hardy backup, this was good. And it did need to transfer because of the Christian storyline right now. Yes, so it's they couldn't put it off. So it's like, sure, as a backup, it's probably the best thing they could have done. Although I wouldn't have minded if instead they'd had a match with Ricky and Will Hobbs next week and, you know, done that instead. But
Yeah, I did think that it wouldn't have been that hard to do a little segment where Ricky and Hobbs elbowed their way into the ladder match somehow. And,
yeah, you could have put any other team in the ladder match as a sub for sure.
But Sarah did say that the Reddit consensus is that neither the Bucks or the Hardys were ever planned on having the titles long, and it's like a short term transference to get to FTR. And I'm like,
I don't want FTR to have the belts again. That is the most boring thing I've ever heard. I hate that. But I am a hypocrite because actually I don't give a I like it that the Bucks have the belts now. I've gone limp. I really do think, I don't know. I think they should have. Yeah, I agree that I think that Red Dragon, they had a really good opportunity where they were hot in a way where it would have been really fun to give them the belts. Ricky and Hobbs, I think there was it would have been really good to give them the belts. Keith Lee and Swerve, I actually feel okay about them not giving them the belts because they are not a super established tag team. I don't know. I guess maybe I just don't feel like they would handle the storyline very well, but I'll be perfectly happy to watch the Bucks with the belts. I will be having a good time, and these days privilege my entertainment above all else. So great. I can't wait to watch the Bucks do exactly what I enjoy. I'm happy about it.
It's true. Given that, however long they hold the belts, they're gonna have fun in there. And if they're having fun, I'm having fun. So yeah, it's good.
That's what I'm thinking about when I'm talking about how good that match was. It's the Bucks are going to put on matches that I'll want to watch. And I guess some people don't want to watch them. And I think that's crazy. So I'll be having fun. So,
yeah. And if my choices are the Hardys having them or the Bucks having them, it's this is a 10 zillion times better. So I guess can't complain.
Definitely. So after the Bucks won and hammed off stage, they had knocked Luchasaurus out, which meant that JV was kind of alone. Christian pretended to help the referee help him out of the ring. And then immediately, I've written here, turned face. He turned heel, but I was guess employing the wrong term in the notes here. Turned heel and chaired the hell out of Jungle Boy as the first man to encourage Jungle Boy to chair, which at the time I said, hello, warning sign, bad problem. Yeah. I've been saying for a long time, I've been saying since day one, this man is an evil uncle. And thank God he turned out to be, so that I could be right about something for once.
True. It was very satisfying to see the heel turn. It was so funny though, because he was doing this help out of the ring, and then the turn was so violent and so sudden, it was
so
really
crazy.
Funny.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. His energy was insane. insane. So it was like weird. Frantic, and it's like he's so frantic yeah. about. He's like, I have to murder Jungle Boy so hard, and then he slowed down and he was like just lounging on Jungle Boy's back.
Okay, what was he was going making on some faces that it was like
crazy.
People love making those faces around Jungle Boy, you know.
Well, it was so funny too because he's just been doing like a mean, disappointed dad shtick for a while, and this was like not that energy at all. So it really kind of felt like it came out of nowhere, even though like obviously like this has been like we've been waiting for this for a long time.
Okay,
it was just a funny execution.
Let me hit you with one of our classic crossovers here, which is in Buffy, when Angel experiences a moment of pure happiness and becomes Angelus. Christian experienced a moment of pure disappointment and became Angelus.
He's been cursed to lose his soul whenever he feels the purest disappointment.
which I feel like you can't avoid as well as you can avoid pure happiness, honestly.
It's true. It's hard to achieve pure happiness, but pure disappointment every day, baby.
Quite a bit. I'm very excited to see what happens here.
Yeah, this was like definitely just felt like thank God this paid off, and it the pacing felt really good at this point. Like it is the thing that makes me feel like the Bucks getting the title here is like, well, you had to, because this had to happen now or in the next week or two. Like
the belts had to come off Jurassic Express, and they actually probably should have come off them a while ago.
Yeah, but, also true. If it had happened a month ago, that would have been fine.
You know, it's interesting that, like, this probably was, like, the best part of their reign, kind of, because they were ramping up the Christian stuff in the background, and because it was really bringing JB out as, like, a character where he, you know, he's, like, never really feeling that much one way or another. And this is the first time you've really, on the regular, seen him be like, wait a second, I don't think I feel good inside me. My brain doesn't feel happy. What is this?
We made our friend Erin, who hadn't been watching for a while, we made her watch like the promo just before this, and we're like specifically watch Jungle Boy's face, like only focus on Jungle Boy's face, and like you come out of it being like, guys, is Jungle Boy good at acting? Is he great at acting?
It's like a young Ian McKellen.
Many are saying it. We are the only ones brave enough to go on the record.
The lurkers support us in email. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I hope they do a good job with it. Also on Dynamite, we had Darby cutting a promo about how Kyle O'Reilly had taken his father away from him. So Darby is going to take Kyle's father away, and Kyle's father is Bobby. Okay. You know what? Let's just go with it. Let's run with it. I did.
It's funny that Darby
this.
Doesn't understand what a father lover is and how to spot one in the wild, because he should know better than anyone. But
yeah, you know. It's like neither of these men are fathers. They're both other things in their own way. But
yeah,
no worries. It is the language you have.
It is interesting that Darby's like, Sting is to me as Bobby is to you. But I'm like, Bobby, what Bobby and Kyle have going on is not the same as what you and Sting have going on. It's
Bobby
crazier.
Is not Kyle's
it's a much more chaotic
mentor.
Energy.
Bobby is Kyle's life mate and helpmate.
Yeah, I would say that was definitely a normal way to put that. Yeah, sure.
You don't hear helpmate enough these days.
I kind of agree, honestly. Even though I may be getting made fun of, but I find the term to be pretty useful in moments like this.
I wasn't making fun of you, actually.
Oh, you do agree.
I do agree.
It was earnest agreement. Thank God.
It was earnest agreement, yep.
Hey, guys. That was earnest agreement from my friend.
I guess
we're helpmate girls.
Allie spent the whole night getting pushback that she instinctively was like, oh, of course I am attacked again. But she wasn't. She was being petted.
I really see it around every corner. And then also Hangman came out to cut a little promo, very sweet, sheepishly being like, when I challenged Okada for the belt, I guess I didn't realize that maybe Okada wouldn't have the belt anymore by Forbidden Door, because on NJPW programming, I guess, I don't know what the shows are called, Okada lost his heavyweight belt to Jay White. So we got a little thing where Adam Cole came out, and then Jay White came out, or like appeared behind Hangman and took him out, and then did a little villain monologue that this was, I mean, this was the stuff.
Oh my God. It was so perfect that he just like, Jay White was like, and I will not be fighting Hangman at Forbidden Door, and Adam Cole was making this perfect, like, yes, that's my friend. Fuck yeah, this is going exactly how I wanted to go. Exactly. And then Jay was like, and I won't be fighting you either, Adam Cole. And Adam's face was just like so perfectly outraged. And he's like, how could this be happening to me?
You know, I will say no one transitions between emotions on his face like Adam Cole. He's so pleased one moment and then like perfect befuddled, wait, what?
That's so funny. That man perfectly represents living on the edge at all times. Like he's like a moment from disaster in every part of his life, and he's like, and we travel on every day.
Well, we were saying earlier that like he just has the very funny energy of a man who is like always running a little scam, but cannot process the idea that someone else could be running a scam. Like he's just like, it's only me. Like I've got so many like little schemes and cons and scam. And then someone does one thing to him and he's like, wait, what? That's not legal. Can I go to the cops about this? That's not okay.
It is very like, I can't believe they would eat my face, said the president of the leopard eating party.
Yep, pretty much.
It certainly is.
And Jay White did not tell us who he was going to fight. He just told us who he was.
No, he
fight.
Just ended the promo and was like,
he ended the promo.
Oh. Sarah is convinced that it is going to be like a four-way. She thinks it's going to be Jay White versus Okada versus Adam Cole versus Hangman. But that's definitely not, like, Jay White was like, I'm still hunting for my perfect match. Don't worry about it.
Aaron,
I hope
spoke.
It is, because I'm going to be mad if Hangman is not in the Forbidden Door.
Oh, I think he will be. I think he has to
I think
to
he will be. Aaron spoke the, our friend Aaron spoke the forbidden truth of my heart. She said, what if it's Kenny? I like kind of like emitted like a dog whistle scream that was just like, I want.
Pretty fitting if Kenny came back at the big New Japan crossover.
And like if Kenny came back and fought Jay White, and I don't know if that's right or not. I don't. I already want to see Hangman wrestle, but for Hangman to be, have some kind of role in that pay-per-view, and it's already somehow tied up in like he wanted this fight but Kenny gets this fight, I mean there's a lot of possibilities there.
And I mean, even if Kenny only comes out at the end, like I think it's very interesting that like Jay White, Hangman, and Adam Cole all have their issues with Kenny in a very different way. I mean, I can't really speak to what Okada's going on. Maybe Okada and Kenny are.
They
totally
may have
cool.
issues. It's not for us to
I
know.
I have no idea. No, absolutely none. But the three of like the fact that like the three of them are all like have like they all have something Kenny going on. Yeah, if Kenny showed up, like even if he wasn't fighting, he just showed up at the end to be like, "I live in all of your minds rent free." Yeah, I would love that.
Kenny
maintains so many mind residences. He's in here. He's in mine. He's taking up a lot of room. I want it. I want it to be Kenny.
I know. Yeah. So bad.
I believe last week you debuted the term Kennaissance.
Kennaissance, yeah.
And what is the term that you invented for this week?
Kenemies.
Enemies of Kennys.
He has so many Kennemies. So many Kennemies. Nice. He's getting his own, he's getting it built out vocabulary. I pray to God. I want to see Kenny. I got to see Kenny. If I don't see Kenny, I'll die. Eddie Kingston fought Jake Hager on Rampage. Jake Hager was wearing tiger stripe bright pink boxer briefs. Very important fact. The only thing I have to say about that match. I don't know. Do you want to get into this, Leah? Because we can.
I will because I like my honor was like absolutely
your
like,
honor. Like okay,
yeah.
Well,
you
let
like,
me just.
You called me a weird freak at like a point.
You are.
Okay,
you are.
So
yeah.
We did the schedule today on the highway. Up the East Coast, and I
safely
helpfully,
from the backseat.
Yeah, I helpfully was reading her quotes from our BFF, the All Elite Wrestling recap. Yeah. At one point, it says Eddie Kingston covers Jake Hager, and I said casually, "Not a big deal. That's horse mating talk."
Okay, so then I said, "Stop." Please stop and repeat. What do you mean? That's horse mating talk.
Yeah, when a stallion covers a mare, that's that's horse mating talk. Yes, like I've read a like that was what's the
were you a horse girl?
No, of course I wasn't a horse girl, but I read
a lot of
girl.
Horse books, and
I'm a farm girl. And yeah, I read a lot of farming.
I was
books,
a sure. farm girl. Since when, Miss Brass City?
You mean you read books about farms?
Yeah,
not that you
yeah,
lived
like
on a farm. Okay,
the equivalent of horse girl for farms. Yeah, I read.
Where in Little House on the Prairie does covering come up?
Not in her books. In Monzo's book.
In the last four years, the first
no, when he's a kid. What's the one where he's
farmer
a kid?
Boy.
Farmer boy.
Yeah. Farmer boy. The stallions cover the mares. Yeah.
That kind of really got through to you and stuck with you, because in Farmer Boy, I thought there were some really good food descriptions. I guess the act of the horse covering the mare didn't stick with me in the same way.
This is what was happening in this card. They were insinuating that I was too interested in horse mating, but it was just a thing that I learned about, and it's a distinctive way of talking. And like I googled horse covering.
It's real.
Like,
no one was saying it wasn't real. No one in the car was saying it wasn't
but
real.
It was a, it's
they just
like
said
a
you were a pervert for knowing it.
We said it was because she said I think about it all the time.
No, okay.
Well, again, you're not defending yourself real well.
When the recap says X covers Y, I have thought multiple times that's horse beating talk.
I just think it's weird that the way that she said it was like, as we all must be thinking.
I didn't know that you guys didn't have that in your vocabulary.
I didn't
you
know
guys
that.
You do talk about Laura Ingalls Wilder like constantly, so I'm a little surprised that Allie doesn't know it.
It I wasn't,
I'm the better
let me tell
scholar.
You this, Anne, it was not a major part of the book. It may be in there, but it didn't take up a lot of space.
Do you think our wrestling audience enjoys all our references to the Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High and Laura Ingalls Wilder?
I don't know. If you don't, you can always go listen to Dave. Yeah. You can always go listen to Dave. He doesn't say this stuff.
I would like to talk to the listeners for a moment.
Oh, please address them. Please address your public.
If you were a reader, as I was, and read a lot of books and encountered this phrase again and again in agricultural
again and again
focused.
You named no. one book. You named one book where you read it.
She was reading a lot of other agricultural
books.
I
was reading a lot of other
books. Educational tomes.
Yeah, yeah. I would say yeah. And if this phrase is something that you'd know, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear some backup, because I don't think I'm a freak for knowing the term. Like, I'm not
no
like a
one
horse
said that.
Freak.
No one said you were a freak for knowing the term. I said it was freakish to think that that would be the association that everybody in the world would have around the phrase covering. That we were all reading the AEW recaps every week and thinking, horse mating talk. And I think that's about enough of that. You can all weigh in via email.
And I would really appreciate it if you would.
Yeah, me too, I think. Dynamite opened with Ortiz versus Jericho having their hair match. We had a bunch of like ringside melee stuff here, including Fuego del Sol emerging from Danhausen's office beneath the ring and helping Jericho get the win over Ortiz with a little illegal baseball bat. We did get the reveal then after... like all was said and done and Ortiz had lost and he'd grabbed his little hair clippers or whatever. So sad that Fuego was Sammy, which Sarah was onto from minute one.
Yeah, I learned that I can recognize the bottom of Sammy's face, which I was not happy to know about
myself. We see him kissing so much. So yeah. I agreed once Sarah said it immediately and I was like, oh, yeah, I see it. And then I had like one moment where I was like second guessing myself. And then I was like, no, those are Sammy's lips.
Stupid mouth, yeah.
It did crack me up that Fuego del Sol spent like all of last night tweeting to be like, I don't know how he got my gear. This is terrible. I would never behave like that. Hey, Sammy, that's not how I behave. You're this is slander. I'm going to get in touch with somebody.
Honestly, I hope that Fuego del Sol and Sammy have a feud, because Sammy, I know like he feels like he's a good friend, but he's not.
He's not. He's not
no,
at all.
No, he's a terrible friend.
He's a terrible friend.
He's really left Fuego out to dry.
Maybe Fuego should get in contact with Mark Sterling to see if he has a case.
Yeah. That'd be great.
A case against Sammy?
Civil yeah. suit.
Sammy, maybe Sammy has multiple friends he's offended.
He yeah. probably does. I think he could get a class action.
Class yeah. action class. Of his own.
I like that I'm just like, it has to be. It's class action or nothing, baby.
You can't sue as an individual. That's crazy.
That doesn't seem right, yeah. The other thing that happened, so this match ended with Eddie being like, my friend's a man of his word. Ortiz shaved his own head while screaming blood and guts, blood and guts. And I think like nicked himself on purpose to get some blood for the blood and guts part. So he really committed to bit.
I would say his energy during that was deranged in a really yeah. good way. Like mm-hmm. I'm obviously disappointed that Jericho didn't have to shave his head. But the fact that I got to watch a man with absolutely the craziest eyes I've ever seen threateningly shaving his own head while screaming blood and guts over and over, I was like, that was the moment where I was like, this is wrestling.
Yeah.
This is wrestling.
You don't get that anywhere else.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I do think it's funny that Jericho, like, it seemed clear that he had seen his bald spot at the pay-per-view, like, freaked out, signed up for this match, and then been like, no, my beautiful hair. I can't touch my beautiful hair, just like Matt Hardy, and pulled out at the last minute, which is pretty funny to me.
So crazy. These men love their hair, but they won't get implants. I'm not trying to make them get implants. I'm just saying.
No. I mean, they probably shouldn't, because I think it scars up your head and then you can't ever shave it. So,
does it?
Yeah. Someone was saying that somewhere.
I take it back. I don't want that to happen to anybody.
Because they have to like take the hair from like the back of your head and put it on the top. And then if it goes balder, you're like trapped with no recourse. Yeah. You can't do a crew cut.
I think it was this match that we realized that what Jericho normally is doing to hide his bald spot is that he paints it.
Yeah, makeup.
We saw the paint today.
Yeah. So it must have worn off in the madness of anarchy in the arena.
Yeah.
It's not really not the outcome that I wanted, but it didn't keep me down. I thought, okay.
Yeah.
I loved Ortiz's hair and I'm really going to miss it, but I hope that he has a beautiful shaved head like Greg, and I hope that these men enjoy bloody and guttying each other.
Would you, Allie, like to discuss what you and Aaron felt about the ringside barber?
I will bring that up. And it's that Aaron pointed out that the ringside barber had a little bit of a fake party stripper energy, which I did agree with. I thought, yeah, who knows what's going to happen when that guy gets in the ring.
And it turned out he didn't even get to do his service.
I felt sad for him. I hope that he got paid per appearance and not like for actually doing the job.
Yeah.
I got paid
not per follicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The usual method. That's how I've always been charged. Yeah. Per follicle. Yep. He didn't touch a single follicle, actually. We got a little Danny Garcia and Yuta reunion ringside. So they beat each other up and then they really got into it on Twitter in the funniest way.
I have it up if you want me to read it.
Oh yeah, read it please.
So last night, Wednesday night, Daniel Garcia tweeted all that training with William Regal and Yuta still couldn't stop a double leg takedown from a guy in Jordan 4s and white linen pants. That's crazy. And Yuta tweeted a video of him beating Daniel Garcia up in between the SpongeBob few minutes later in the middle, and then more him beating Garcia up, and then Garcia goes, "You're a little boy to me and I will kiss you on your forehead." and then Yuta replied, "Cute."
Well, these little peacocking young boys,
unbelievable.
They're showing off. They're ready to fight each other. I want to see them fight each other.
I love it.
So happy to see Yuta again. I'd have forgotten about him, which is crazy.
The sweet one. We had Mox and Tanahashi having an in-ring face-to-face to discuss their upcoming Forbidden Door title match. So this was mostly Mox doing his beat poetry about how he's been chasing Tanahashi for years, and he did his whole speech. And then before he got to leave the ring, Chris Jericho came out again with Ty and Sammy, and they did a whole thing where Tanahashi told Jericho to shut up, which I loved. Anyway, the outcome of this, Lance Archer showed up, whatever, blah, 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 blah. The outcome is that Chris Jericho, Suzuki, and Sammy are going to fight Yuta, Shota, Umino, and Eddie Kingston at Forbidden Door. So it's just going to be like a trios thing with like the Jericho, Eddie Kingston with various boys and men. I think I nailed that. Yeah, that went really well. No problem.
It was various perfect. Boys and men.
Various boys and men is kind of like our whole deal.
Actually, I think that sounds like an amazing title.
Maybe. Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see what else got said or gets said tonight.
I'll look into it. Yeah, I am very degraded that Sammy and Jericho are back together. It does not feel good. I am not enjoying myself.
Yeah. That I did find pretty dark. And I had just been thinking actually earlier that day, like, wow, we really haven't seen like Sammy for a hot second since the pay-per-view. Glad he's cooling his heels a little somewhere. Well, his heels got hot again, I guess, and he's back, and that's
and Jericho brought him out, like, I've got to introduce some people to you, and it's like, I have seen too like, much of these people, like, they do me. Not need an introduction.
Immediately saw more of them, too, than you like to see, mouth-wise.
We had a really funny moment where the Fuego thing, Sarah was like, no, you guys, like, this is going to be good, because it'll get Sammy away from Ty, and he'll have like way less like mic time because he'll have to share it with the rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society. And we're like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then this happened and all of us turned to Sarah and was like, Sarah, you told us we wouldn't have to see Sammy and Ty together again. Sarah, you promised.
Sarah, you said.
Kind of looks like the rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society is getting less mic time instead.
Yeah. And we still have to see the kissing. Don't love to see that.
I got so confused. I was like, I usually like kissing. I didn't like yeah, right. I remember what I saw. Hey, I remember what I saw with my eyes. Didn't like it. This, I think, to me, this was the most inaccessible, like, NJPW crossover section because I actually, by the end, did not understand what was going on at all. But Sammy was there, so I didn't really care that much. I was just like, I'm so sorry to, like, love of my life, Eddie Kingston. I can't get, and my husband and lover, Chris Jericho. Yeah.
oh my God.
Yeah, she's been saying stuff like that for fully.
I don't like it.
I just want to clarify that.
Stop it.
All that happened, I'm not sexually attracted to Chris Jericho. Don't want to affect Chris Jericho. Not a fan of Chris Jericho's various things about him.
Making jokes about him being your lover. And I know, it's 2 weeks from now.
I know.
You will be, though.
It's that clown stuff all over again. But.
the clown. That sounds unexplained.
And it'll kind of remain unexplained.
So Allie's kind of sexually attracted to clowns is I think what we all heard. So.
I think like maybe for a brief moment, I think who could say? In a way, it's kind of like who could say and who will say? Nobody on this podcast. So don't worry about it. But I don't even know what I was saying. I don't know what I was saying.
No, I'm confused now. I liked the Tanahashi part, especially liked the part where Tanahashi told Jericho to shut up because I was like, yeah we all love that. But I think when Lance Archer and Desperado came out, I was like, I don't understand who those
don't know
people
why they're
here. Are. Yeah. And then
there were so many of them. And I was like, who is teamed up with who? It got so confusing. Yeah.
And we weren't really, we were not introduced to Shota at all. And
no.
They introduced us to Sammy and Ty, but not Shota. So,
We were later instructed on who that man is by Sarah, and I was interested, but again, AEW did not do that for us.
And it turned out that we have been told about him before, but you know, context matters. And he is like Mox's NJPW son, the same way that Yuta is his AEW son. So Mox's boys are going to fight together. I do think that's very sweet. I like that.
But AEW does need to do like a better job at introducing that stuff because sometimes it is like Tony Khan expects you to know like 30 years of deep wrestling cuts and every other promotion that's filming and it's like Tony, I have a job. I can't watch all of this wrestling.
And they make you work. When you have the job, you can't just choose not to do it.
I know.
Most of the time. I agree.
And it's
that
I don't know. Are we just all expected to be like on wrestling Twitter and Reddit like 24 hours a day? Because I have a job, and you know, even like I thought it was a little bit weird, like that they didn't do any in episode explanation of why the Hardys weren't in the ladder match, even though they had like done a little skit getting them in there. And I know they didn't want to get into it, and like I don't really want to get into it, but it's just like. Sometimes wrestling is just so weird with the Bears because it's like we've got kayfabe, we've got shoot, and then there's like this weird mix where it's like if you're just watching the show, you don't know what happened. Like you've got to also know the news. Like I don't know,
well,
like
I think the Hardys, they're in a between a rock and a hard place because if they tried to do a kayfabe explanation, I think
you're
going to
get in trouble for trivializing it.
I think it would. Yeah. I think it would have come off as disingenuous, but like also not explaining it also it's just weird has to say drawbacks. Nothing, yeah.
I think.
I mean, I guess I just don't know on that one. And I didn't really feel the loss because I am on wrestling Twitter. So I'm like, yeah, I saw what happened and I don't really want to hear about it because it's just like, you know, it's just like a bummer and it feels sad and bad. So yeah. I didn't mind that they didn't touch it, honestly. And I didn't feel like to a casual fan who's watching week to week, it would even be that big of a deal. Like, I think if you thought about it, if you knew enough to think about it, you'd Google it. So,
yeah. But I think it just pinged for me because so much of the episode felt like you needed to know extraneous material from watching the show every week. So
I would say, like, the Jay White stuff was good. Like, I feel like they did a really good job with, like, explaining what was going on there. I think it was, and I think the Tanahashi stuff was good. Like, I think Mox did a really good job of explaining why he was very horny to be fighting Tanahashi. It was just the run-ins at the end that I was like, I have no idea what's happening here.
I mean, overall, the energy of the show was good enough for me. It's like, I was amped about stuff that I was like, yeah, I definitely don't understand that full thing, but like, I'm into it. This was the one part where I felt like really, like, I was just like, I don't know what's happening, but also there's someone I don't like here, so maybe that's it. Well, let's talk about another little NJPW crossover. So Greg, Trent Beretta, and FDR fought Will Ospreay and Aussie Open on Rampage. So Greg called himself CM Greg. We did know this last week, but we forgot to say that this was definitely supposed to be Punk and FTR. So Greg was kind of the last minute stand-in.
Which is a little bit like, oh, good for him, subbing in for Punk, even though he's neglecting his husband Dustin. But
yeah, you've left Dustin at home to rot, but fine. You know, can't get, you know, what are you gonna do? Yeah, chase your bliss. And then Trent got the pin on one of the Aussie Open boys. And then on Dynamite, Dax FTR fought Will Ospreay in a singles match that I think was just like maybe like a special birthday present for Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer was so excited about this and kept saying on Twitter, it should have been weeks of build up. They should have had weeks of build up for this match, which I was like, I don't think we needed to build it up or even that we need to have it. But then when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, this is good wrestling. I see it with my eyes. The men are doing good wrestling. I
think that was the most I've ever enjoyed an FTR match that didn't involve the Bucks. Like, I had such a good time. Not as much of a good time as one of my co-hosts did, but yeah, I had an amazing time.
Which one, Leah? Who?
There were some really disturbing things being said about Will Ospreay in that living room, and yeah, I was uncomfortable. I felt really, you know, like, I don't know, oppressed.
You felt oppressed? What does that mean? You were allowed to speak your truth pretty freely of not wanting to, as I said, fuck Will Ospreay. But look, I'm not trying to defend myself here. It is what it is. The man looks exactly as I described him. He doesn't have the face of a nice man. And I hear from people on the internet that he's a kind of a twat. That is all well and good, but to me, he did look fuckable, and I liked watching his body and the way it moved. And I don't think that's a crime, and I don't think it can be held against me.
I don't know if you and Aaron should be allowed to watch wrestling in the same room anymore.
We loved our time together.
It seemed like a dangerous situation.
She agrees with me. She's also an Ospreay fucker.
I will also say, I will also throw Sarah under the bus that she also wanted to fuck Ospreay.
She wanted,
It was really tragic.
Not comfortable with that social situation for you guys.
His face. I just want to punch his. I want to punch his face so badly.
Yeah. So I can't, you know.
I will agree he's objectively hot, but he looks so mean that it's,
Will Ospreay is like pinging a really specific thing for me where it's like I'm in college and I'm an anthropology major and I'm in classes with these men I really don't like and they just say the dumbest things and I would just think,
Is he your like male Britt Baker where it's like, I'm having a weird, like, I'm projecting a lot of really weird dynamics.
Let's say I'm kind of projecting, pretend we're bleeping this bleep onto him. Yeah. So don't worry about that.
This is the kind of talk that I had to hear for
I don't think I said
while.
Bleep once. I don't think I said bleep once during the whole episode. I had a great time. Again, I didn't care about the outcome of Dax versus FTR, but Will Ospreay won. Dax versus FTR. Dax loves FTR. It's Dax versus Ospreay. Ospreay won. Afterwards, United Empire, we believe this is a faction. We can't get into the details of it. It was a lot of men jumped in the ring to beat Dax up, and then Cash and Trent Barretta and Rocky Romero came out to his aid, and somehow we think the good guys were outnumbered. So Orange Cassidy finally returned from medical leave to face off against Will Ospreay. They did a little nose-to-nose kissing pose, and you can't tell me that didn't shake a little something loose.
When his music hit, I've just never been happier in my whole life. Like, the crowd was freaking out. It was so good to see him in his dark little denim.
Give her the good news.
The dark denim looked so good.
The dark denim looked great, but give her the ratings news.
Oh, apparently that segment was the highest rated segment of the entire episode.
Hell yeah.
And listen, the internet wrestling community, some of them on Twitter, as per usual, mad about Orange Cassidy. Dave Meltzer mad about Orange Cassidy.
Well, so Sarah explained this to me, that Dave Meltzer is like, he's always really careful to be like, yeah, I don't understand Orange Cassidy. I would never voluntarily watch an Orange Cassidy match. But yeah, you have to admit that the people love him and it's right that he wrestles. Like, he's not like Jim Cornette about it, but he's always like, yeah, I don't get it. And so like, she was telling us that like, every time that like he wrestles at some point, he'll be like, yeah, that match happened and we saw it, sure. And so he apparently has a huge hard-on for Will Ospreay. So this is his personal monkey's paw, where it's like, yeah, he gets to watch
for
Will
him,
Ospreay
it's
wrestle.
FTR match.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, he gets to watch Will Ospreay wrestle an AEW wrestler, but it's the one that he cannot access in any way.
But apparently Brian Alvarez is excited for us.
Yeah.
Oh, good. My friend Jeff texted me and said that that with Orange Cassidy back, he could like, it was like all is forgiven. Like, he'd been worried AEW was getting too far away from its weird roots, which I do sort of agree with. But with OC back, it was just like, yeah, everything's good again.
Yeah.
I love when I see my boy. He looks so good. I can't wait to watch him wrestle. And we are going to watch him wrestle because Will Ospreay and United Empire are going to fight Orange Cassidy and Roppongi Vice on Dynamite next week. And then OC is going to have a singles match against Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door. Wow. So we're going to really be seeing him in action. Dustin is missing. I have filed a police report. He is missing in action.
Well, allegedly, there are these unsourced Reddit speculation, or he said something that he might be injured, which does make me relax a little bit more, but I still hate it. OC,
he doesn't want to wrestle.
It's horrifying.
He hates it here, and he doesn't like us.
I really enjoyed that, like, one of the Reddit reports was like, he took the opportunity of Orange Cassidy being off camera to heal up some other injuries, and that made me relax, because it's so destined for him to be like, oh, Orange Cassidy doesn't have to wrestle, then I won't be wrestling. Yeah,
no, he's like, oh, my friend is on vacation.
Oh, if he gets vacation, then I'm on vacation. Yeah, no, absolutely. We also saw Stokely Hathaway posted a picture of Dustin.
Proof of life.
Yeah, proof of life. It was like
and
taunting
he was
him
there,
because of their
so
history.
What was he doing? He's like backstage. But
I think it's too many. I think it was a man imbalance.
A man imbalance.
Just
imbalance.
Pull
Rocky out, for God's sake.
Rocky has to be there, actually.
Because of the New Japan. Because of the New Japan.
We're in NJPW now.
He's not my real mom, so.
No, and then, listen, once New Japan ends, then we get Dustin back.
Then we get Dustin back.
We get Dustin back.
Can't happen soon enough. Dustin back.
And if we don't, we take to the streets.
No, we definitely take to the streets.
We'll take to the streets quite a few times. But we haven't done it yet. But this could be the time if we don't get Dustin back.
The streets are very cold and hard.
Now they're pretty hot, actually.
But
such a good point.
I'm so excited to see OC wrestle again, though. It feels like it's been like 300 years, even though I think it's only been like 4 months or something. But
I know.
That's a long time.
And
that's a third of a year.
To be clear,
that's such a good point.
We know nothing about Will Ospreay, but like absolutely nothing. But he had like really like good energy, like high energy wrestling.
I think it's gonna be so
fun with like Orange Cassidy's whole thing of like high energy pretending to be low energy. Like, that's gonna be fun. Like, I think it's gonna be a good
Yeah.
It will be fun. Yeah.
And OC does well with like guys where there's a vibe of like, I'm a cool guy and I'm a mean guy and I'm looking cool and good and mean. And then he makes them look foolish. That seems like kind of a good little avenue for him, even though everybody has pointed out that Will Ospreay, this is for a belt. This is for the NJPW US belt. Nope. Yeah. The IWGP US belt. I think.
Yeah.
And Will Ospreay just won it. So everyone's like, Orange Cassidy is not winning that belt. But yeah, still fun.
I think what's going to happen is that OC and Roppongi Vice are going to win on Dynamite. And then Ospreay is going to win in Forbidden Door. If the normal law applies.
Baby.
Let's talk
They were very blonde facing each other down, too. Those were two blonde beards.
Ruddy blonde. Listen, to me... That's all I'll say, actually. Let's move on. Toni Storm cut a promo on Dynamite. She said that Britt is a dentist and therefore smart.
She went on for a long time. The amount of education that it takes to be a dentist means that
respectful,
she's...
respectful, maybe.
Yeah. It was like crazy. It was like a really long, winding road to her point.
It was so funny because it's like, it's not like I think dentists are stupid, but it's not usually the professional job that people are real in awe of.
She was really giving it the rub. It was fine. It was probably Toni Storm's best promo.
It really was. I was like, this is a relatively normal promo. Like, I'm not cringing too much at it.
I mean, I would say that mostly I'm saying that because I don't really have a memory of it. And I think if it were bad, I'd remember it more. So that was fine. Then they had a match. The thrust of the match was this part where this was like the climax kind of. Toni smashed Britt with a high velocity hip attack. That's a quote from AEW recap. And then Britt super sold being like pretty injured in a way that I think like got a lot of people, because Sean Rossap even was like, she really got me. She's kind of staggering around, but then she wasn't hurt and she almost pinned Toni, but then Toni countered and pinned Britt for the win. And somewhere in there also Jamie Hayter interfered and Thunder Rosa came out at the end. What did you think?
It was good. I thought it was, I mean, Sarah definitely got gotten by Britt's injury, and Sarah got me. And so like we got tense in the, like for that period where we're like, oh no, but like, it was Britt's best acting. Like, she did really
good.
It
definitely was.
That.
I didn't think that she was actually injured. I did think that it was for the match, but I also thought it was some of her best acting, and that, like, I was like, you threw yourself into that, and I love to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, totally, like, fun match, fine, whatever. I think the Owen Hart belt, like, kind of put me over the edge on Britt, where I'm just feeling like, we see a lot of Britt, and I would like to see some other people more. So, I mean, like, ideally, they'd give the women as a group more time, so it's not just, like, Britt or nobody. But, I just kind of feel like it wouldn't be bad if Britt took a little backseat for a few months here, so.
I don't disagree with that.
I think that's totally fair to say. I guess I'm coming out loud and proud this week. I'm apologizing left and right. I'm just like, I still love watching Britt. I'm not over her. I love her. I definitely do agree. I'm like, let's get storylines in the women's division. Let's get other people featured. Let's let her have a break. Like, I mean, like, you know, lots of people get to have nice breaks on their salaries. Give her a break.
Dustin.
But at the same time, pretty much nothing but break. But at the same time, I do just personally love watching her, and I wasn't, and I'm really not mad at her that often. So I just like her. Whoops, I'm bad. The end. Any other thoughts on that, or you want to move on to just this, that Thunder Rosa came out to help during the match, and then after the match, after Toni had won, Thunder Rosa came out again and did a little belt hoist, like, I got this belt, babe, and then pointed at Toni Storm, and that then therefore they are going to wrestle at Forbidden Door, which I would call a somewhat anemic introduction to that match, but I'm at my liberty to watch it.
It didn't really make a ton of sense because Britt and Toni have been feuding. Britt and Thunder Rosa have historically been feuding. It made sense that that Thunder Rosa came out to help Toni, but then to come back and be like, and also I'm going to fight you. I don't know. It didn't. I don't know that it added up.
I guess it was supposed to be, if I had to guess, it's like the mutual respect of like game recognized game. You are so powerful. I will never let you be cheated against for the win, but I want to powerfully and respectfully win against you on my own terms. I agree that I don't think it worked that well, but it's fine, and it is what it is.
It is.
Just one more instance of women's storylines not being very developed. So
they kind of always are what they are. Let's briefly hit on what is going on with Men of the Year. So that starts with Wardlow having his match against 20 security guards in a class action lawsuit against him. So he ended up he did a thing where he like took them on in groups and then like knocked them out and stacked them and pinned the stacks. Which I loved. That's called working smarter, not harder. And then afterwards, they did a whole thing where like Dan Lambert and Scorpio Sky showed up in a skybox, and Lambert was like, I've got two beautiful American top teamers down there. Get in the ring and take out Wardlow. And then they hopped in the ring, but Wardlow just immediately was like, you don't want to work for that dickhole. Like, come on. Solidarity, brothers. And that just really easily worked on them. And they helped him bring Sterling into the ring, and he powerbombed Mark Sterling.
It's so funny that Wardlow managed to be like, guys, you're working class, I'm working class. You know, like, boss makes a dollar, we make a dime. Like, come on. Like, we are the same. After he just powerbombed 20 working class stiffs who just were there to make a like money, like
make that was a their dime.
I know the like union storyline here is a little muddled. I would say,
how are you having solidarity with these freaks, but not the red shirts that you just fucking murdered?
You know, I will say. And I have loved watching Wardlow's security guard shenanigans. But it does feel like the true babyface move would have been to address the claimants and say, we are the same, actually. I'm sorry that I injured you in my quest for freedom. But I will fight for your freedom from the tyranny of employment.
Capitalism often pits worker against worker in
absolutely
situations.
It does. Yeah,
yeah, that'd be a great, great coherent storyline.
It's right that they haven't done enough work establishing the security guards as like instruments of evil under Dan Lambert's hands. Like it's just like it's like yeah, no, I feel for them. Yeah,
you know, would you say that right now AEW is experiencing some of the same narrative difficulties that the Force Awakens Star Wars trilogy encountered with the stormtroopers by attempting to humanize them, but then dropping the storyline.
Sure. It's very true. Yeah.
We love to
pick that apart.
We are finding these Star Wars parallels all over the place. Makes you think.
This is just a silly piece of trivia, but apparently one of the security guards was Dan the Dad.
Oh,
which is very nice.
Whoa, so he's a literal father. He has children to feed. Hungry mouths. Hungry little baby bird mouths. Where's your sympathy for that fellow worker, Wardlow?
So true.
This match was such a high point, though. It was just so funny when he like knocked them all down at once and the piling them up and the announcer saying numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been eliminated. It's just delightful.
At the end of the day, yes, it was. I thought the announcers announcing that, the announcers doing announcing, their job announcements, it was a perfect touch. Very good.
Agreed.
The reason, I guess I didn't really say this, the reason Dan Lambert and Scorpio Sky were doing that whole thing was because Wardlow is still saying, I'm coming for the TNT belt. Scorpio Sky has his dick muscle injury, groin injury.
Yeah. Yep.
And so they're clearly kind of burning a little time, we think, until Scorpio Sky is prepared to defend / I think maybe lose the belt to Wardlow. So that'll be interesting to see. Yeah.
I did think they do not need to add MMA men to any factions. They don't need to be here. We don't need it. We got enough men.
I said here, a classic little comedy. MMA equals more men always. There's somehow always more MMA men joining us. No, no room at the inn.
Don't need it.
We are already full up. Every room has been taken up by an NJPW wrestler this month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So don't this come month, any least month, of all. Certainly not this month.
It's insane that, like, I read an article, like, an opinion piece that was like, Dan Lambert has not yet been involved in a feud that people have enjoyed. He's actively dragged down every feud that he's been in. Why is he still here? And it's like, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really just getting hot potatoed around the company. Like, if you get called into Tony's office and it's like, we think maybe there's a great idea for a feud with Dan Lambert. If I as a wrestler would be like, I'm getting a call actually, and I gotta go. I gotta go, TK. I can't talk right now.
TK must love Dan Lambert. I just don't understand.
I guess. Something. We don't know, but we wonder what's going on. We did see him twice in the night because Ethan Page fought Miro.
Yeah.
God, at least
our boys are all coming back.
All our beautiful boys are coming back. This was big boy boob match. They were just, they've got the boobs and they've got the...
popping those titties at each other.
Beautiful knockers.
They both were jumping their tits. You guys can't see what I just did, but it looked really cool, so don't worry about that. We had a great moment during this. Oh, Dan Lambert came out with him. Why am I saying that? Shut up. We had a great moment during this match when Ethan, like did this thing where he like forced Miro to put his hands together like he was praying to Ethan Page. And Miro went into absolute psycho beast mode and destroyed Ethan because it was not, he would never pray to Ethan Page.
No,
he doesn't even pray to God.
He's fight trying to fight God.
Yeah. He'd pray for God.
I did completely miss the promo that you referenced.
Oh yeah, I don't remember anymore, but I think it was on Rampage where he's Ethan Page cut a promo that was like, I only worship myself. And I thought it was like he wasn't really matching Miro's insane, like Miro's promos are so like far above everybody's, but I thought that was like a pretty good comeback to Miro's whole deal. Yeah. So
It's one of those ones where it's like it's hard to figure out how to respond, but
yeah. What do you say to the man who's going after God?
And so Miro advances to the next stage of the All Atlantic Tournament. Do you guys want to talk about anything else, or do you feel like we got enough?
We got enough. I think
we got enough talking.
Dan Lambert.
Yeah, more than that. Probably Dan Lambert kind of took up a little more time than he deserved, as per usual. But what are you going to do about that? I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on all social media platforms at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts about kind of the various like sexual things that came up tonight, or yeah, I guess still sexual, like covering
again,
Chris Jericho and Will Ospreay, I guess.
Sexual. If you read the books that I read,
whatever.
Contact
and
me.
I'm not attracted to Chris Jericho, but he is like kind of like my like papa now. Oh, and like my daddy.
If you want to take a side in any of the fights we've had tonight, please email us.
Please email us at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.
I think that was very so nice. Normal.
I think it was fine.
I don't think we said anything weird.
Hey, no worries.